Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Ronnie innocently gave Nick up to the McCarthy Committee.
I know somebody in President Eisenhower's administration.
Encrypted and Decoded, 210. From Irving Kristol to Alan Dulles. Dulles, Barnes making noises about nosing into Iran. I've laughed him off of it, but he could make trouble. Kristol.
Encrypted and Decoded, 211. From Alan Dulles to Irving Kristol. Top secret. Kristol, be careful with Barnes. He smells something, and I'm not ready to take a chance on bringing him into this. Yet. He's smart, so watch your step. Encounter is a key part of Operation Elba. We have the National Student Association covered, and between that and Encounter, we can stir up trouble and keep monitoring it at the same time. If we keep enough leftist agitation going in France, that'll keep the right chasing their tails, which means no chance of a stable government, which means no one to keep a handle on the war in Indochina. The communist threat will start to make Americans nervous, but it won't really happen until after Ike's wound up two terms and a Democrat gets in. The Democrats inherit a quagmire, and by 1964, your neoconservative counter-revolution should have all its ducks lined up, and we can sweep into power behind Nixon. If Nixon self-destructs, we might look at that guy from Arizona, Goldwater. And if the Democratic president turns out to be too popular, but I figure it'll be Harriman, so that's not too likely, well, there are ways of dealing with that, too. So for now, stay in place. As for the position you should be taking on Iran, pro-Mossadegh all the way. We don't want to tip our hand that we're even considering another option. So don't worry about publishing woolly-headed young lefties. That works perfectly. Remember, we're building a world in which our kids will call the shots. Dulles.
Jacob Barnes, Paris Herald Tribune, 38 Rue de Berry, Paris 16, France, February 13th. Carraway, I knew a Jimmy Gatz back in Kansas City when I was a Cub reporter. He was collecting for a loan shark. I used him as a source a few times. He talked more than he should have, and I thought he was too much of a dreamer to make it in the racket. You got some things wrong about him, but I recognized the Jimmy I knew in your Gatsby character. So, what do you want to know about the International Red Menace, Barnes?
From the desk of Alan Dulles by special courier, February 15th, 1953. Carraway. So, Barnes nibbling. Good work. Good work. For the time being, just play out the line. Concentrate on strengthening your ties with the man. Get into his confidence. We can reel him in later. Dulles.
February 17th, 1953. Dear Mr. Barnes, so you knew Gatz. I don't wonder you feel I got some things wrong about him. I no longer remember what was Gatz and what was Gatsby and what was just my youthful romantic imagination. Don't worry about the libraries. As I said, I'm just learning this job and I've been sending out a lot of letters inherited from my predecessors. But Lord knows the Red Menace is real enough, as you should know, being cheek to jowl over there with the countries that have been closed off by the Iron Curtain. I've been called to testify this week at the McCarthy hearings. A friendly witness, they assure me, as I have every intention of being. My cordial invitation bears the personal signature of Roy Cohn, the chairman's right hand. While I wouldn't deny that the senator has a touch of the bull in the china shop to him at times, I'm sure his intentions are patriotic. Liberals like to paint him as a fanatical clown, but there are communists, Barnes, and they are a threat to the security of this country. One of these days, I hope I can try to convince you of that over a martini on the Champs-Élysées. Meanwhile, I'll wander over to the Hill on Thursday and see what the committee wants to talk to me about and be what help I can. Yours truly, Nick Carraway.
New York Herald Tribune, Paris edition, The Barnes Door. Paris, February 17th. When Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh was elected premier of Iran, the first thing he did was to nationalize his country's oil industry. There may be easier ways of sorting out your friends from your enemies, but this one did the job. The Iranians thought it was a fine idea. The oil, after all, was Iranian, but the British cried foul. The oil companies, after all, were British. The oil fields might belong to Iran, but the drills and the pumps had John Bull's name tags on them. His Majesty's government sued. The Brits took the matter to the United Nations. Dr. Mossadegh went to New York and won his case before the Security Council. Then he went to The Hague to defend the takeover, and he won again in the World Court. Dr. Mossadegh stopped in Paris on his way home from the Netherlands, and he sat down for a few minutes with this newspaper. He is a quiet, frail man who projects the aggrieved air of a beaglehound shut up in a hot car. Looks like he might burst into tears or faint at any moment, and sometimes he does. But when he talks about his country, his eyes light up, and he leans forward like a preacher in his pulpit. Democracy is possible in the Middle East, he says. It is, as your Mr. Jefferson put it so eloquently, there comes a time in the course of human events when it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. Nobody likes to lose something they think of as their own. From time to time, whispers reach us of plans for a British invasion of Iran, which seems unlikely. We also hear rumors of a coup sponsored by Britain. That sounds more plausible. But Dr. Mossadegh enjoys the backing of something like 98% of the people of his country, so a popular uprising against him may be a hard story to sell. Where did Dr. Mossadegh get a crazy idea like nationalizing the oil industry? He says he got it from the British. They are nationalizing their steel industry, he points out, and their railroads. They tell us it is different for them, that they are an advanced civilization. My ancestors were civilized when Winston Churchill's ancestors wore skins and lived in caves. My only crime is that I removed from this land the network of colonialism and the political and economic influence of the greatest empire on earth. Some of the whispers that have reached us have the British looking to America for help with their problem. What business is it of ours? It isn't. If anybody tells you it is, tell them to look up what America stands for. We stand up for the little guy. We stand up for the poor, the downtrodden, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Undercutting democracy is not America's style, never has been, and please God, never will be. We leave empire to the empire builders and colonialism to the colonialists.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Jonathan Richards and Tad Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Alan Arkin as Jake Barnes, Tom Conti as Nick Carraway, Ambassador Joseph Wilson as Alan Dulles, and Jack Caffrey as Irving Kristol. Tune in next time to hear Dorothy Kilgallen say,
"What top Eisenhower appointee has been caught in a love nest with a little red thrush?"